The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Back with us tonight for part two of our conversation this week is Tex Mars. Monday, we spent a lot of time with Ann Coulter and her Jewish friends or ex-friends, and we had so much to talk about, we decided to continue it, and Tex was kind enough to be able to be on the show tonight. Right now, he's standing by down there in Texas. How are you, Tex?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing just great.
Good. The latest, I guess one of the latest pieces is that I've got up about Donald Trump and Fox News. Today, Trump tweeted that he would be boycotting Fox News because the network had treated him very unfairly. But a Fox News spokesman said, in fact, told CNN, there's a laugh right there, that Trump only made that claim after Fox canceled his scheduled appearance on the O'Reilly Factor. Well, my first question is, what the hell is wrong with Trump that he would go on the O'Reilly Factor in the first place? I mean, that's really nuts. He's just asking to be abused, and that's what he'd get. CNN, of course, has been waging its own war against Mr. Trump, as have other politicians, especially some of those who are still in the running for 2016 and some who have dropped out. There is a major effort to smear Donald Trump. And let me say something I said last night when Frosty Wooldridge was on. If Donald Trump only made good, if he were elected, only made good on his promise, one of the things that he talks about, to get rid of, deport every illegal immigrant, no matter what the country of origin in this country, to return to America, tens of millions of jobs, he would go down in history as one of the greatest American presidents. I believe that. Now, I don't agree with Mr. Trump on many of the things he says. I don't agree we should go to war with Iran, for example. But this issue of illegal immigration, you've seen what it's done to Europe. You've seen how it's being carried on over there. Only 10% of those refugees, they're illegal aliens, in Europe are from Syria. We're due to take 200,000 of them in here over the next couple of years. This has got to stop, or we will no longer be a country. Many say it's too late now. If Trump merely follows through, if he's elected, on his pledge, his promise, to get rid of all illegal aliens, including anchor babies, he will give America a rebirth. He will give America back to Americans. And it will be up to us to take care of this country. That's my position in a simple nutshell. Anyway, Tex, let's go to it.
Well, Jeff, what you said is so true. I mean, when you really consider that, I mean, that alone, I never really thought about that alone being so powerful, but it would be, because that would, that action of simply following the law, it's the law right now. We have the immigration laws and deporting these people and putting a right on that. That alone would change everything. I mean, it would knock a big hole.
Absolutely. Huge.
And the Illuminati plan for the United States.
Yeah.
Now, Israel and the Jews here in America, of course, want to destroy our culture, want to, you know, totally just, I mean, put a light a match to our,
you know, text,
our Bill of Rights.
Tex, one thing. Excuse me. I want to underscore what you're saying by making another point.
Okay.
There is an undeclared war, and it may be declared, on exterminating or reducing Caucasian Americans and the Caucasian race itself into second, third rate, and maybe even off the board entirely. There is a war against white people. White people have something that's unusual. They are a very kind, a very giving. In fact, they give to excess. They give to almost a suicidal stance. They try to make things available to other people, the less fortunate, to their own detriment. And there has to be a line drawn somewhere. And I think Mr. Trump has realized that and has stated it. Even if he was a one-issue candidate, I would still stand up and say what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the Syrian refugees. Of course, we have a special law for refugees. Refugees are not considered immigrants. They don't go by the same rules, and we bring them in. They don't sneak over. In other words, we go and get
That's
them.
That's right.
We sign them up. We bring them over on the charter jets, and when they come over here, their first couple of years are totally financed. They're given all kinds of welfare and assistance. They're even given a cash stipend. So we bring entire communities of Somalis, of Afghanis, all kinds of different
right.
people, and we set they have chosen 193 communities across America, the Obama administration, and most of those are what are, you know, we say red communities, red states. In other words, they're Republican, because they want to change the voting factors in those by bringing a huge amount, thousands, even tens of thousands at one time, of Ukrainians and others, Kazakhstan people, and of course Syrians right now. The Middle East is really a big factor. But it's not just Syria. There's other countries in there as well. Iraqis, for example. They want to bring them into the United States, and then they will vote. And there's a big drive to get these people to vote.
Right.
And they will put out of office all the Republicans. Now, the Republicans know this. They know that immigration and refugees coming in will displace, will basically put an end to Republicans in the United States. But remember, Boehner and McConnell, those kind of people are not what we would consider Republicans, the old Republicans. They're rhinos. They don't really care whether Republicans or Democrats win. They're going to get their money from their lobbyists and such. They're going to get involved and be millionaires, and
right.
that's all they're concerned
they're
about.
They're career criminal politicians.
That's exactly right. So they're more than welcome. Now, Israel, of course, remember there are 7.5 million Jews in Israel, and they're about the same number in the United States, and that constitutes over 90% of all the Jews in the world.
In the world, yeah.
So they stay in the United States, and they purposely make this, you know, sort of their satellite, or you might say their state, their second state. And that's so they can get the political leverage and have the money, because they control our media, they control our academic world, they control Hollywood and such, and you know they have
and the entire economy.
Absolutely, they control our economy, and particularly the politicians. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute, how both the Democrats and the Republicans, because last week, well, a couple of nights ago, I'm sorry, we really talked about the Republicans, but the Jews are really, really backing Hillary Clinton, and they'll, of course, back Bernie Sanders, they'll back anybody that runs. They will have both candidates, and the Jews will give most of the money for both candidates, because the Jews will have their president. It will be a Jewish president. Now, I'm not talking about blood. You know, they call Clinton the first black president, and actually call Obama the first Jewish president. That was in the Chicago Tribune. They said he's our man, you know, when he was elected. He will be the first Jewish president. So he really has been. Now, the interesting thing is that Israel is very strict. They allow basically only Jews to immigrate. They do not take in any refugees. They're in the Middle East. Even in their desert lands, they will not allow one Syrian refugee to come in. They despise all of the Arabs. They think they're inferior. The Jews, are a superior God race. This is in their Talmud. This is in their Babylonian Talmud and in their Kabbalah. So right now, in the midst of great deprivation, great suffering by the Syrians and the Iraqis, whom we are bombing and whom we have killed so many of, they're trying to get out of their country, just trying to save theirs and their family's lives. Right. But Israel says, no, we don't want you. Now, why is it that Israel will want to say, let's just say, lily white Jews are the only ones in their country, but in America, the same Jewish people want to have America they don't want white people anymore. They want to turn us into sort of a big conglomerate.
Multiculturalism and a homogenization of the whole cultural climate here.
They say this is what America will look like in 2050. And on the covers of those magazines, they have what appears to be sort of a one-third black, one-third Indian or Pakistani, and one-third Mexican. But they say basically that the whites will be out. And of course, that's I can quote you mayors and others who brag that their cities are already becoming.
That's what I said. This is a war on Caucasians. This is a war on white people.
It is, and has nothing to do with the old KKK and
no.
All that nonsense. So we're seeing that the Jews, though, will not allow their blood to be mixed. They even have organizations that are designed. I can show you full page ads in their publications where the Jews say, we do not want to mix with Gentiles. And they think it's in fact, I was recently reading in a Jewish publication of a funeral that a family had for their son.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very solemn occasion, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
They were there. They were mourning. They had their wearing black, and they actually had. I'm not kidding you. They had a coffin set up, and they were mourning their son. He wasn't dead, though. They had a funeral for him. He wasn't dead. No.
Oh, I get it.
You get it. He had married a Gentile girl.
Yeah, I got it.
They were having a funeral for him.
Unbelievable.
This is how much they despise Gentiles.
Now, Gentiles, folks, that's white people. You got to get this straight. Now, we have our listening audience out there, Texas, whenever you speak, is a broad spectrum of folks. But mm-hmm. The majority of the audience is Caucasian, white, European. They are marked for extinction. They are marked for cultural I guess extinction is the best word I can come up with. They don't want them around at all anymore, period. And you've just made that point. And yeah, if you knew what happened today, the Israelis are now using snipers against these teenagers and pre-teenagers who are throwing stones at some of the Israeli tanks and equipment. They're killing them. They shot an 18-year-old girl 10 times, a Palestinian girl, and let her die in the street today. And they also, the State of Israel, imposed a complete lockdown on Palestine. Did you see this?
Oh, yes. I'm watching that with great intensity. It's
yeah. Yeah, it is. Israel prevents free movement throughout the occupied territories at all times. This is the lockdown of Palestine, what's left of it. Jews-only roads prohibit Palestinians from using them. Scientists are for, or rather, settlements are for exclusive Jewish use. No goyim allowed, especially Muslims. Zionism is apartheid on steroids, far exceeding South Africa's harshness. It's a sophisticated form, social, economic, political, and racial discrimination, combining suffocating strangulation with slow-motion genocide, incorporating colonialism's worst policies, which include murder, extermination, enslavement, torture, arbitrary arrests, illegal imprisonment, denial of the right to life and liberty, cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment, and other abusive acts imposed by Jews on Arabs and others. Go ahead, Tex.
Well, you know, those people who report those things are in great jeopardy for their careers, because those are the kind of news reports that are not to be told Americans. I get letters, dozens, every week I get dozens of letters from Christians who bash me and say, how can you say what you do about the Jews? None of those things are true. We know that's not so. And they're so full of propaganda. They read our press, then they read these Jewish publications or their so-called Christian publications that they get in Christian bookstores and such. I remember Dave Hunt. He was once a friend of mine. He's passed away now. But he did books promoting, you know, Judaism and the Jews. His take was, and this is what the Jewish government, the Israeli government, put out. They say that when the Jews began to arrive in 1948 in Israel, Palestine, it was at that time, they say that the Palestinians, who of course have lived there for, you know, hundreds of years, that those Palestinians did not want to be with the Jews. They so despised and hated the Jews that they gave up their businesses, their orchards, their farms, their homes. They gave up everything and chose to live in tent cities out in the middle of the desert because they did not want to live with the Jews. They were so prejudiced against the Jews. Now, think about that.
Yeah, right.
And he actually believed that.
Yeah. That
same line has been told me by many Christians. Well, the reason why there's this apartheid, why the Jews and the Palestinians are kept separate from each other, is because the Palestinians just, they're a prejudice. They're biased, and they don't want to live with the Jews. Well, you know, their land, everything's been taken. It's as if somebody, let's say Russia or China, comes to Illinois.
Right.
And everyone that's white in Illinois, you know, is taken on a truck, you know, to a forest.
That's right.
And all of their land, their shops, their businesses, their bank accounts, everything are taken from them. And they're told, if you leave this forest, you know, you'll be shot. That's exactly. You know, there's a terrific book by a Jewish academic named Ilan Pappe, P-A-P-P-E. It's entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine.
Uh-huh.
He's a historian, and he shows exactly what happened, how they came in, and they targeted all of these towns and villages, and they purposely, the Jews went in and massacred and killed.
Oh, they slaughtered them. It's hideous, horrible.
Bodies down wells, yeah. Poison the water wells, and all kinds of things. They wanted to make it as brutal and thuggish as possible so the word would get out. We're taking your towns and villages, and if you don't get out, we're going to kill you.
Well, look at ISIS, the same kind of MO, and that's why we say that the Jews, Israelis, are behind the formation and the support of ISIS, or ISIL, whatever you want to call it. The article I wrote about and actually quoted a little bit from about Israel imposing the lockdown on Palestine was written by a Jew, Stephen Lenman, a brilliant writer who has a conscience and a heart. He's a great Jew.
Well, we do have a few Jews like that, and I just thank God for them. But you know, they're criticized by their own bloodline.
Oh yeah.
That hasn't stopped them, so good for them. Now, Trump has a second policy, and I've listened to it very carefully. He is really not for going in. Now, he said, yeah, I'm going to go and take all their oil in the Middle East. But when you really listen to him very closely, what Trump says, he never really says, I'm going to go in and invade Syria. He said, in fact, he said it today. Trump said, I'm going to let Russia take care of Syria. Let Russia go in and fight ISIS on behalf of Syria.
Yeah.
We should stay out. Now, think about that, Jeff.
That's George Washington talking.
Get out of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Or is ISIS going there?
Yeah.
Since the United States doesn't want to stop ISIS, of course, you know why we don't, because there are sponsored forces.
Exactly.
We put them there, and we're paying them and giving them all the armaments to fight the Syrians, because we hate the Syrians, because the Jews hate the Syrians. And that goes back to
okay, you just said something important. We hate the Syrians, in quotes, because why? Because the Jews tell us to hate them. That's
right.
Exactly what's going on. Yeah.
Syria supports Hezbollah. Hezbollah is the party in Lebanon that was invaded by the Jews several years back, and they kicked the back ends of the Jews. They defeated the Jewish armed forces in southern Lebanon, and the Jews withdrew their tails between their legs. Now, that has not even got out to the American people, but the Jewish public are very aware that their generals lost big. They had all the armaments, they had all the airplanes, the helicopters, the tanks, etc., and yet they lost to Hezbollah.
Yeah.
They vowed that they would take out Assad and Syria, because it was Syria that was supporting Hezbollah. So that is why they despise Syria. They want Syria to go. And that's why John Kerry said Assad must go. It's because Israel wants them to go. They've been they haven't bothered us. They've been our friends for years. They were only defending themselves through Hezbollah. So they control Hezbollah, and that is why the Jews hate Syria. So they have used ISIS. The United States has teamed up with Israel, and we are funding and sponsoring ISIS, and they're fighting they're not fighting in Iraq. They're fighting in Syria. So there's a terrible war going on there. And amazingly, Assad has been able to defeat ISIS and hold them back, although he's lost a lot of territory. We want to go in and finish the job and take out Assad and basically destabilize Syria permanently, and thus Israel will have no more Hezbollah. Then Hezbollah will go too, because Syria is gone. So this is the reason why it's Hezbollah, it's Syria. We want to take them out. When I say the United States hates Syria, the American people don't hate anyone.
No.
We don't even know what's going on.
That's right.
We think that Assad must be some kind of a Hitler. We've been told by our government that Assad has been warring against his own people. Not true. Not true at all.
No,
it's just
go ahead. Yeah.
We were lied to about Saddam Hussein. If Saddam Hussein were still there, he would not allow terrorists to take over his country. He would still be protecting Christianity.
You got it. You're 100% right. This whole thing is disgusting. I want to, tell the world how impressed I am with the tenacity and the dedication and devotion of the Syrian army, fighting against almost insurmountable odds coming from every direction. They have acquitted themselves wonderfully. They've lost, they've won, but they have never been broken. This is a remarkable army.
Syria has really done well. I mean, they got the forces of the United States, all our money, all of our terrorist armies against them. They got the Israel fighting them. And they're still in business. They're basically winning the war. So we've got to give billions more. In fact, they want us to take our own troops over there and to, you know, give more American blood.
They'd love it. Now, Trump is brilliant when he says he wants to meet with Putin in New York at the United Nations. He wants the Russians to handle the Syrian issue. These are very, very common sense approaches to geopolitics. I mean, we have no business over there.
Well, see, the Russians are embarrassing the United States because they are going into Syria now. For the first time, they're bringing their own armies in, their Air Force and Army troops in.
Yeah.
And giving Syria weapons, arms.
Well, Vladimir Putin said, no, Syria is not going to fall. And imagine what the Pentagon, they got their panties in a knot, I guarantee you that.
Well, the United States has to pretend that they're fighting ISIS.
Right.
You know, we pretend that we're fighting ISIS. Well, the Russians come in and say, we'll fight ISIS for you. If you really don't want to defeat ISIS, but we will. We'll fight for Syria. And that's a great embarrassment to the United States.
Huge.
We're telling them, we don't want you to fight ISIS. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Russia, Putin says, we will fight ISIS for you on behalf of Syria. And we're saying, oh, no, you stay out. We don't want you to fight ISIS.
Too late. Too late.
American people, they need the listeners today should understand what's really happening.
Yeah.
Why is Putin going to go into Syria? To protect Syria from the United States and Israel, who are quote unquote ISIS. They are ISIS.
That's right.
So this is, and if he does that, it'll be amazing. He's, of course, remember Obama had every intention to go in and bomb and take out Syria several
right.
years ago. And then Putin stepped in, and basically we thought, uh-oh, you know, we cannot go into Syria because of Putin. Putin won't let us. And now he's preventing us again from going in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing...
Well, this is his most bold stroke to date, Putin. I mean, he said no, and he meant it, and he's committing men and material to back it up. Then you're not going to beat the Russians. It's not going to happen.
It's interesting that they want us to, the neocon Jews in the United States want the United States to fight Russia. They want us to get into
absolutely.
A world war with Russia.
Look at Ukraine, sure.
Once and for all. I mean, they thought they had done it with Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky, and you know, Jeff. Stalin came in. He was a madman, all right, but he determined he was going to take out the Jews. In his last days, he had planned to take out the Jews.
Huh.
So their own Golem Frankenstein had turned against the Jews, and they had to get rid of Stalin very fast.
They poisoned him. Yeah.
That's right. They killed him. People don't realize that he was his positions in the Russia were taken away from him just months before he died. He was no longer the political power that he had been. But the fact is that Russia now has come back, and they don't want a strong man, and that's what they're afraid of Trump too. Trump will be a strong person like Putin. They mm-hmm. don't want. They want a kiss up. If they can get one of these guys like Jeb Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz, you'll just kiss up to him.
Yep.
They're
they want another wimp, a subservient wimp is what they want.
Oh, yes. Now, and I can prove that in every case, they're looking, the Ted Cruz, by the way, I brought some of the evidence that I mentioned before. He met with the Jewish billionaires in New York City. He actually went to their fancy apartment.
Good.
Met with them, and they've given him millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
These Jewish billionaires, and they're gays. The two biggest gay guys.
Very strange. Very strange. Raises very strange questions in my mind.
Yeah, their names are Ian Reisner and Matty Weiderpass. Weiderpass.
Mm-hmm.
They're well known in New York City. In fact, about 3 weeks before they had this big meeting with their gay friends for Ted Cruz in New York City, and by the way, it was closed to the public. We couldn't go, I guess. But they did have their Jewish friends there. But this Reisner and Weiderpass met with uh-huh. Cruz, and then they took him to their apartment and had a special meeting with him. I don't know what they did, but they had a special meeting with him.
I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? By the way, another guy who was there, but evidently didn't get to go to their apartment, was Chris Christie. But Chris Christie and Ted Cruz met with these billionaire Jews who
uh-huh.
This article I'm reading right now says there are two gay hoteliers, meaning they own hotels.
Right.
And about 2 to 3 weeks before they guested Ted Cruz, they had a big Hillary for president.
They're trying to cover all the bases. Well, this is going to be, all right, the primary season starts in February. I want to alert all of you to be on the lookout. You're going to see a lot of it. There's going to be a very big effort to smear, to libel, and defame Donald Trump in every opportunity, especially the Communist News Network, CNN, Fox. Trump, I hope, has hired absolutely the best consultants he can, people who can anticipate what's coming, at least to the best of their ability, and prepare him for it. He really needs to be careful. If he's careful, he's got America, I think, already, the bedrock of America behind him. He'll be in a very formidable position when it starts in February with the primaries. And I can't wait, frankly. Go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the first things that he did, he had a Jewish political strategist named Roger Stone. And you'll remember that he resigned and quit
Trump.
Went out and gave a bunch of, you know, press conferences saying how bad Trump was.
Yep.
But Roger Stone, you have to look back on it. He's a political trickster and very big in the gay community. And so
another one.
Another, yeah, they're all gays. And so Stone was a Jewish, and Trump and he had a disagreement, and Trump fired him. So that tells you right away he's having problems with these gays. He is with the gays, but with the Jews.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When he said, I'm not going to be attacking in the Middle East, I'm going to let Russia fight ISIS, that was a declaration of war against the Jews. I mean,
and you know, it's interesting because I think most of you know, both Trump's children, a boy and a girl, are married to Jews, billionaire family Jews.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, now, you know, Jews have always tried to, take their daughters and marry them off to very rich Gentiles. In Great Britain, of course, it's very popular to do that.
Yeah.
Even Stalin was married off. I think he married two or three straight Jewish women. And they were supposed to watch him. But he was such a mean, evil man that they say he murdered one of them with his own hands. He strangled her to death.
That surprised me.
Yeah, his second guy, I forget his name now, but the Jew that was like the deputy to Stalin, he married his own daughter to Stalin.
Stalin had someone to watch over him.
And she had somebody call her father one time and say, please come save me. It was midwinter in Moscow. Cold as can be. She was up a tree naked.
Wow.
Stalin had banished her from the Kremlin, and she climbed up a tree and was hiding up there totally naked. That's the kind of man Stalin was. But the Jews, you know, didn't work for him. Now, the fact that Trump married his daughter and his son, is it both to Jews, is interesting.
Yeah.
This is the same thing Bill and Hillary Clinton did.
Yes, absolutely.
Chelsea is married to a Jew. They had a Jewish wedding. What, Mevzinski? And so she's married to a Jewish guy. And it seems like the Clintons
Albert Gore's daughter is married to the nephew. No, the grandson of Jacob Schiff, one of the wealthiest men of the last century.
Wow. Yeah. Because Schiff, you know, financed the whole Russian Revolution.
Yeah, exactly. Now, his grandson is married to Alan Tipper Gore's daughter.
Wow. So at the top level, the Gentiles that they want to control, they marry off to their sons and daughters. And typically this is wrong because the Jews say we don't want to marry good Jews with Gentiles. They just don't allow that. But they will make exceptions. You know, if you're a duke or some lord so-and-so in Great Britain, that's okay. Marry him because then your sons and daughters will be Jews. That's very important for them.
Yes,
so
it is.
You know, that's an interesting thing too. But it seems to me that we can cover each one of these people. It's amazing how they're so. I mean, the Jews just control them. Even poor old Rand Paul. I like him. But
he went over and just buckled at the knees, groveled, and did his thing. And you look at that picture of him with his yarmulke at the wall, putting a little piece of paper in there and bowing his head in meditation. At least he wasn't rocking back and forth like they do.
That's right.
But by the way, that is a sexual motion, and it is supposed to be, in case you didn't know it, the way the Jews will go up to their so-called Wailing Wall and thrust their pelvis, their hips, forward and back, forward and back. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right. They're having sex with their Shekinah.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on a second, Tex. Hold on. We'll gotta take a break. We'll come right back with Tex Mars in just a minute. More very interesting, I hope provocative, certainly controversial information for you to consider. And we will be back. Okay, we talk a little bit about World War II with Tex. Don't forget the name Ilya Ehrenberg. I mentioned it just briefly before the break. Ilya Ehrenberg. He was Stalin's number one Jewish cheerleader of death and hate. He invented, by the way, the term the 6 million. It was Ilya Ehrenberg. The Jews used that after the First World War. It was not the first time, but he created it for the Second World War alleged Holocaust. He was a very, very sick man. He exhorted all the Soviet troops to kill all the Germans, everyone they encountered, rape the women, kill them without pity. Now, this is, talk about war crimes, okay? Just sick, beyond, this is not human. Ilya Ehrenberg, remember that name. Go ahead, Tex.
Back to these political candidates, I find it interesting that these same two Jewish billionaires, gay hotel owners in New York City, brought in Ted Cruz and Christie, are big backers of Hillary Clinton. And this is what I would love the audience to get the information tonight and to know this: the majority of money for these candidates does not come from the little people, like, you know, Tex and Jeff.
No.
$20, you know, to their... they go out and get millions from the Jews.
Right.
In fact, I read when George W. Bush was elected that 61% of the money that he brought in came from Jews. Remember, there are only 2 or 3% of the American population.
Correct.
The vast amount of money that he had came from Jews. He knows that. These people realize that. So it's very important for them. Now, there are three Jewish families that control American politics. And these three families have such power. I would call them the power behind the throne. They're the titans who tell our politicians what to do. And I believe they told Rand Paul, they told everybody, here's what you're going to have to do to win our support. Doesn't mean they're going to be the choice.
Right.
But to even get in the running, they have to kiss the back end of these.
You got to pass Jewish muster, or you don't get out of the starting gate. It's that simple.
Exactly. The first man, of course, is Sheldon Adelson. He owns the casinos, or several of them.
Oh, he's a Las Vegas giant.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
In Red China, on the island of Macau.
Yeah.
He owns a huge
casino.
I think Sands, casino there. So he's in with the Red Chinese. He's big pals with the Chinese folks there. So between Red China and Las Vegas, he's got casinos all, in his grasp. Sheldon Adelson, of course, gives. He said last time that he was willing to give $100 million.
I was just going to go look that up, and I remember that very clearly. He said, I've got $100 million sitting here, so now, come and talk to me.
He says, I am a one-issue man. Now, you want to know what you're going to have to do to get some of this money.
Yeah.
Because, for example, Ted Cruz, remember I told you that he and Christie went to this Jewish meeting first, the big Jewish conference, and Gentiles, of course, were not invited there. And then he went over to their apartment for these billionaires and did something in private there, whatever that was. And I think I know, and I'm not going to say it. But
This is amazing. I didn't know anything about this, and I am standing side by side with you on this. That is a very suspicious meeting. I wouldn't rule anything out. I have no idea what went on there, but I would not rule anything out, okay? These people will do anything for a blank check, and that's what they'll get, a blank check.
Exactly. Now, in the Times of Israel, and this is timesofisrael.com, they had a story. Let me give you the headline. It's entitled, 2016 Hopefuls, Christie and Cruz Court Jewish Donors in New York.
Uh-huh.
They were both invited. They were the only two candidates invited to this conference called the Third Annual Champions of Jewish Values International Awards Gala. And that's where Cruz spoke. And, of course, what he said about Israel was, the typical kiss-up stuff. But it says here that very prominent at this gala, this is right before he went with these two gay billionaires to their private apartment. He went straight from this Jewish Values, Champions of Jewish Values conference. But it says here that he sat at the table of casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, who is likely to spend millions backing his favored candidate. So it's interesting. Both Christie and Cruz, along with their wives, were seated at Adelson's table. So he says that he gave more than Adelson gave his more than $90 million to candidates in 2012. And that, of course, includes Newt Gingrich.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So here they're sitting at the table of Sheldon Adelson. So who must have invited them? Well, who do you think? Right. Now, it's interesting because Sheldon Adelson is the big giver to the Republicans, and he says his one issue is Israel.
That's right.
He's not interested in all these other issues. Of course, he is, because immigration has to do. If you support immigration, then you're pro-Israel, et cetera. Now, on the Democrat side, they have their, by the way, I didn't even mention the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, oil magnates. They also give billions to various Republican candidates. And they give
many millions. I don't know if they give billions, but they give many millions.
That's right. And they also control the largest of the Tea Parties.
Yes, correct.
And Sarah Palin is a member there, and Ted Cruz is a member.
I kind of miss Sarah Palin. I found her to be a kind of a nice little change of pace. And I would not, folks, let me say one thing. I'm going to get out of the way and let Tex finish up this hour. Do not count Hillary Clinton out, no matter how many crimes she has committed. Okay? Don't do it. Don't do it.
That's right.
I would expect her to be right there, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see her nominated. Not at all. Go ahead. Thanks.
Well, I have a news item here. It says about Hillary Clinton, in fact. It says, in July 2014, billionaire Chaim Saban, S-A-B-A-N.
Yeah.
Now, we mentioned Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers over on the Republican side. But on the Democrat side, they have their Jewish billionaire, too. He is billionaire Chaim Saban. So Chaim Saban declared in a Bloomberg TV interview that he would contribute as much as needed to elect Hillary Clinton in 2016.
There you go.
And this article says this is significant because both Saban's fortune and his zeal seem to be inexhaustible. Saban declares reality that his greatest concern is to protect Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He quotes him now. I'm Saban. I'm a one issue guy, and my issue is Israel.
There it is.
So he's, by the way, given $5 billion to Bill Clinton's presidential library. He's given millions to the Clinton Foundation, of course.
The Foundation, sure.
And it's, this article here says, as things look now, the 2016 presidential race could be a contest between Heim Saban and Sheldon Adelson.
That's funny. That's a funny line.
In either case, the winner would be Israel.
Yes, you bet. That's very funny.
There you have the two candidates, the ones that Americans don't even know, Heim Saban and Sheldon Adelson, they're our candidates, and they both have one issue, which is Israel. But they both support Democrats and Republicans. That's why no matter who you vote for, you're going to get the same result.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Jeb Bush, by the way, has been supported by the Koch brothers and the others, and he was a member of the Project for the New American Century.
Yeah. He's a very weak individual, and he said a what did he say? Let me find this. Hold on. He said something today which was very odd. Darn it! Hold on, just a sec here. Jeb Bush, married to a Mexican, said a multicultural United States is wrong. Now, I wonder how that sits with his wife. He's trying to play both sides of the fence. All of a sudden, multiculturalism is wrong. It won't work for the United States.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, but they're doing it out of love, he said. They're coming here out of love. I don't know. Why would he want to stop love?
Right. Yeah, there you go.
He's the one who said it. That's very strange. By the way, they're so angry at Trump, and you're so right about this, Jeff, that Bill Kristol, he's one of the top Jewish neocons.
Yeah, yeah.
Editor of, or the boss of Weekly Standard Magazine. It's a big Fox News, outlet.
Yeah.
For her friends. Bill Kristol is so mad at Trump, he says if Trump wins the nomination, he's trying to enlist other Jews to start a third party. Now, remember, Fox News forced Trump, you know, and all the other candidates to raise their hand and say that, promise that they wouldn't start a third party.
Yeah.
But he says we should start a third party, and he wants to bring in Romney back again as a third
party. Well, Romney was supposed to win last time. Now, I've had it told to me several times that 8 million votes were unaccounted for, disappeared in the last election to allow Obama to win and defeat Romney. The Jews wanted Romney. It's just that simple. And they lost. And I think that's where some of the information for that brilliant documentary exposing Obama and who his real father was, the whole story, Dreams of My Real Father, I think that information, some of it came from the Mossad to the filmmaker who made that film. If you can find it on the internet, you want to see what the truth about Obama is? Dreams of My Real Father. Look it up and watch it, and you will be amazed. And that information, some of it came from the inside, the deep inside, because they wanted Romney to win. Go ahead.
Romney, definitely. Well, we could talk about Romney, have a whole show on him, because he's working. The woman, Odit Gadash, I think, is a Jewish woman.
Uh-huh.
She was a member of the Mossad, and she's head of his financial group.
There you go. He's not finished. There could be some big surprises here. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Hillary is wounded. Donald Trump is you're going to see the most fierce attacks that you can imagine against Donald Trump. The GOP hierarchy has gotten together, said they're going to spend millions to try to discredit this man. So those of you out there who support Trump have got to stand triply firm on this issue. Back your candidate. Support him. This is going to get ugly, I think, before it gets over. Go ahead.
Trump must know that, Jeff.
He's got to know. He's a smart
guy. He's really in for it. And he's done a magnificent job in holding back these wolves.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how he's been able to do it. Hillary what they're saying, the Jews, is that, yes, she's pro-Israel, but not enough.
Not enough.
You never can be enough. You're an anti-Semite, and they're always ready to bring that accusation out against you.
Oh, they love it.
If you, you know, that's why Rand Paul, he thought he would kiss up to him. He actually presented earlier this year this anti-Palestine bill, cutting off U.S. aid to Palestine, to the poor Palestinians.
Yeah, wonderful Rand Paul. Little Rand. What a creep.
It was right before he met with Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah.
And other well-heeled Jewish donors.
Never saw more fervent bootlicker in my life than I have Rand Paul.
Isn't that amazing? The poor guy, he knows that Ron Paul, his dad, would not
no,
buckle under.
No, his father is a man. Rand Paul is an ego.
I think Rand Paul thought, well, I'll go ahead and kiss up to the Jews now, but when I get to be president, then I can do what I want.
Right, well, they'll bury him before he's finished with his first term, if he does.
That's right, because I'm sure he was telling friends that, maybe his father. And, you know, let's face it, the National Security Agency can listen to any phone conversation or any internet, read any internet.
Hell, Amdocs, the Jewish company Amdocs can. The Mossad can. They absolutely.
And so the smallest smidgen of going against well, let me just read you something that's very interesting. You know, one of the top guys in the project for New American Century was a guy named Robert Kagan. Now, you know him because his wife,
sure.
Victoria Nuland.
Yeah, Vicky. Yeah.
She put together the whole Ukraine.
Well, that's $5 billion. Yeah, we're running out of time. Go ahead. 60 seconds, Tex. Go ahead.
Well, Kagan made a statement here. He says, I am comfortable with Hillary on foreign policy.
Uh-huh.
He pursues that policy, which is something called neocon. But clearly her supporters are not going to call it that. They're going to call it something else.
Yes, they will.
He said, if she pursues that policy, they will be for her. So they're going to make sure she does that. Maybe they've listened to phone calls between her and Bill where she says, you know, we're not going to do everything we're telling the Jews we're going to do. I don't know. But they know, and they finally will, they'll do in any candidate that they cannot trust.
That's right. That's exactly right. Tex, thank you again for coming on twice this week. Just really remarkable conversation and a lot of stimulating thought. Much appreciation. You take care. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and God
bless.
Okay,
you too. All righty, and let's trot over to the news for a few minutes, and then we'll trot right back and do hour number two. Hang on.